Hello everybody and welcome back to the show. The diamond of Indonesia, the remote gem of the Pacific. Komodo Island has many names and is unique. We will dive in the waters of this place and its own history. Expect to learn valuable insights about the mighty Komodo dragon, megamouth shark, the pink sand shore, and much more. To give you a concise idea of how this place was shaped before discovering the local species, we need to take a closer look at the zone around it. So Komodo National Park, located in the center of the Indonesian archipelago, between the islands of Sumbawa and Flores, is composed of three major islands: Rinca, Komodo, and Padar, and numerous smaller ones, all of them having a volcanic origin. Located at the juncture of two continental plates, this national park constitutes the shatterbelt within the Wallacea biogeographical region between the Australian and Sunda ecosystem. The property is identified as a global conservation priority area comprising unparalleled terrestrial and marine ecosystems and covers a total area of 219,322 hectares. The whole place is a landscape of contrasts between starkly rugged hillsides of dry savanna, shaded with pockets of thorny green vegetation, and if you are at the edge, brilliant white sandy beaches and blue waters surging over coral. Unquestionably one of the most dramatic landscapes in all of Indonesia. The volcanic activity that has shaped the region led to an irregular coastline characterized by bays, beaches and inlets separated by headlands, often with sheer cliffs falling vertically into the surrounding seas, very abrupt, which are reported to be the most productive in the world. In those places, nature is working all the time. Birds are flying around to catch food for their chicks, vegetation is catching energy from the sun, and all of this on an isolated island, which allows life to go on as it wants, and to take different pathways depending on the adaptations you need to have. And this isolated evolution process has made the modern world Godzilla, also known as the Komodo dragon, how it looks nowadays. And this very unique animal didn't catch the attention of anybody. Sir David Attenborough, one of the greatest zoologists of the 21st century, if not the greatest, was on a mission from the BBC to catch one and photograph one. I will briefly discuss this incredible story that you can find in the great book David Attenborough, Life on Air, by the way. I will tell this story from his point of view. So, getting to the small Indonesian island of Komodo was a challenge. The maritime office clerk informed us that the next boat wasn't for 2 months. The airline officials suggested flying to Makassar, then to Maumere on Flores Island. From there, we would have to travel 200 miles and cross a 5-mile stretch of water to reach Komodo. We spoke to several people who had heard of Maumere, but had not been there. We received helpful information from a Chinese man who knew someone in Maumere who could assist us. We fly to Makassar, connect with a plane to Maumere, drive 200 miles, and find a canoe and cross the 5-mile strait to Komodo. Then we catch our Komodo dragon. Our new acquaintance that Sen explained the situation with the help of a dictionary. He owned the only working vehicle on the island, a lorry that was vital to the economy. It was not possible for us to use it. The only other way to reach Komodo was by sea, and after several hours that Sen returned with good news. He found a pro, so it is a sailing boat, with its captain in the harbour, and we could hire it to discuss our plans. The ship's crew were two boys of around 14, Hassan and Hamid. As we waved goodbye to that Sen on the jetty, the pair hoisted the sails and with the captain and the tiller, we were off. On a fine evening, Charles and I set sail with the crew and Sabran, an animal collector we met in Borneo. We were on a quest to film a Komodo dragon, but faced challenges from the start. Charles had to sleep on deck while I shared the cabin with the crew. 4 days into the journey, we asked the captain if we would reach Komodo the next day, but he wasn't sure. We took over navigation, lying on the hot deck with maps to guide us. We finally found the entrance to the channel that would lead us to Komodo, but the journey was frightening due to approaching dusk and a beginning gale. Suddenly, as we were walking on the island for the first time, beneath the noise of the creaking sails and the splash of the wave against our bows, we heard a steady, menacing roar. We are talking about the most remarkable inhabitant of Komodo National Park, and it is the Komodo lizard, Varanus komodoensis from his scientific name. These giant lizards, existing nowhere else in the world, are of great scientific interest, especially for their evolutionary implications, most commonly known as Komodo dragons due to its appearance and aggressive behavior. The Komodo lizard is the largest living species of lizard, growing up to an average of 2 to 3 meters, so it's bigger than a human being. The species is the last representative of a relic population of large lizards that once lived across Indonesia all the way to Australia. As well as being home to the Komodo dragon, the park provides a refuge for many other notable terrestrial species, such as the orange-footed scrubfowl, an endemic rat, and the Timor deer. The rich coral reefs of Komodo host a great diversity of species, and the strong currents of the sea attract the presence of sea turtles, whales, dolphins, and dugongs. An extremely rare footage has been taken in the Komodo Island a few years ago about the rarest shark on Earth, the megamouth shark, part of the filter-feeding shark triangle, with a maximum weight of 2,700 pounds, 1,215 kilograms. However, it is the smallest of the three, trailing behind the whale shark and the basking shark. It derives its name from its highly distinctive large and circular mouth. For individuals that are approximately 16 feet, so 5 meters in length, the mouth can span up to 4 feet across, 1.3 meters. This species has only been sighted in the wild a few times, and scientists have only captured or observed fewer than 60 individuals. It inhabit the depths ranging from near the surface to as deep as 1,500 feet. Like many deep-sea species, these sharks are believed to surface only at night and spend the majority of their lives in darkness. The inside of the mouth is covered with light-producing organs that may attract pelagic crustaceans and other potential prey. Though it is one of the largest sharks in the world, the megamouth shark was only discovered by scientists in 1976. The first known megamouth shark was accidentally captured when it became entangled in a sea anchor attached to deep naval equipment near Hawaii. Since that time, only a relatively few dozen individuals have been captured, including a very small number of juveniles. With increasing deep-sea fishing operations, the time between captured individuals has recently become shorter. What this indicates is that their numbers may be decreasing over time, and it would make sense in the actual climate. Although it is likely naturally very rare, scientists do not have sufficient knowledge of this species to determine its conservation status. There's another story of someone who has visited Komodo Island, such as the experience of the photographer Jeremy Piper on the Pink Shore. So, I will explain it as his point of view. So, sitting on the edge of the boat with a mask and snorkel perched on my head, it's blissful to watch the sun flicker and sparkle off the water, revealing an array of different shades of blue and green. Below the surface, the colors are even more dazzling, healthy, vibrant coral hosts, bountiful fish, darting in every direction. Feeling refreshed, we are back onto the boat for a supplied lunch of chicken and vegetables, washed down with ice-cold waters and soft drinks, before we head to Pantai Mera, or also called the Pink Beach. It's one of only 7 pink beaches on the planet, and the sand's exquisite color is quite striking. Run your fingers through it, and it's a pure, fine pink. It's not a light dusting of pink, just lying on the surface, but a deep, vibrant color, still apparent as you dig deeper into the sand. The pink coloration comes from red foraminifera, single-celled marine organisms with reddish shells, commonly found on coral reefs but also among sand, rocks, and plants at the bottom of the ocean. When the organism dies, the shell is ground up by wave action and some of that debris will mix with fine particles of calcium carbonate from shells and corals to give the beach a pink tinge. Komodo National Park in Indonesia is a protected area that includes several reserves and marine areas. Facing threats from illegal fishing and poaching, the park is governed through management and strategic plans, and the Indonesian government provides significant support for ecotourism and conservation efforts. While management has focused on tourism and the Komodo lizard, broader efforts are both needed and made to address issues in the marine area and other species for long-term conservation in the Komodo Island. Thank you for listening, have a great day, and I'll speak to you next time.